the beach, because it's the only place to read your emails and your tweets. It's Monday, July 11th. This is another No Dugs podcast live from the Classic Factory on the Athletic Network. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, back from Vegas, we got Taz Mullis.
Podcast listeners, this one's for you!
And just over yonder, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. No Trey, no Lee today. Those guys are already back on vacation.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
I do believe it.
Yeah,
actually.
I can too. Well-deserved vacation break. Trey in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He flew back from Vegas there on Sunday, like us here to Atlanta. And Lee, he, I think, is going to London, England to see fam. But he had a stop in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
But the layover was like 7 hours. So this guy decided to go to the Calgary Stampede.
Amazing.
Nor was like, why is Lee at the Stampede? Because he's, you know, blasting grams about it. I was like, I think he's just got a long layover. And yeah, he decided why not. Classic
Lee
Ellis.
Well, it wasn't that long. It was like 7 hours.
That's a chunk of time.
Then you got to go back through security. It's an international flight.
He's got to see the horses, though.
And the pickle pizza.
Yeah. Real Mo Vernia vibes on that Instagram poll. Pickle pizza or thumbs up. Yeah. And I said, I wrote him. I said, easy, Mo Lili. And he got a kick out of that. Those guys are not here today. I'm exhausted still.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure you guys are too. You didn't even sleep on Saturday night.
I chose to bump my flight up to 6 a.m. And then it's a decision. Sleep for an hour? Nah.
No.
Long shower. Washed away the booze and got on a plane immediately.
So you had like a 6 o'clock flight on Sunday.
6 a.m. Yeah. And that Vegas airport, never a delay in sight, which is nice. You know, it wasn't even close to a delay. So yeah, 6 a.m. we're in the air. I was sleeping.
Okay.
I think.
But did that screw up your schedule last night? No.
What?
No.
Is there a schedule when you go to Vegas? I mean, I still don't know what time it is. My mother-in-law said, oh, that's a great flight time, 6 a.m. It's like 9 Eastern. When you're in Vegas, I still don't know what time it is.
I mean, it's
everything is bright. Everything is dark. Everything. I don't know when it's light out. I don't know when it's night out. I don't
know
if I slept for 3 days.
Yeah, I am so, so tired, though I slept like 10 hours last night, so it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
JD and I were on the flight after TAS with my buddy Grish. Our buddy Grish, your buddy Grish. But yeah, I'm with you. I felt also we were in Vegas for like 2 weeks. We were there 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We packed it in.
Yeah. JD, do you have a favorite moment from Vegas? I know we did our show live from Vegas, but you didn't get a chance. Hold on. Let me turn my Slack off. I'm telling you, we're a mess here today. But did you have a favorite moment?
Favorite moment? I mean, I loved how short it was, but I do feel... I do feel like we were there for 2 weeks.
So do I.
Like I slept for 10 hours as well, the same way I did when we were there for 11 shows before. But yeah, I mean, the fan meetup was definitely a highlight for sure.
Yep.
You know, shout out to all the people who showed up. That was amazing. Like we had no idea how many people who would show up. It was very cash. And Skeets, you mentioned like, we kind of did not a very good job of describing it, or we did, but people still didn't really know what to expect, right?
Right.
Like they would come in and is it going to be like a panel of the guys and we all line up and we shake hands and
right.
take pictures or no, it was just us. I mean, there was a bunch of people when you guys got there. I was a little later because
yep.
of the, I had to post a show, but it was a great crowd and no real crazies, you know, like,
no,
you know, which is a bit of a risk when you do these things, you know.
Yeah. Well, the location as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of crazies, there are some people like when you first approach the bar, it feels like it's this in this industrial area.
Oh, yeah.
It
yeah.
feels like some shady shit could go down there.
Yes.
There was one person who said to me that. She texted her mom before she went in and said, this is where I am. If something happens to me.
I've dropped my pin location.
Yeah.
yeah.
FYI.
Yeah, it was Allison. I
well, yes. I didn't want to reveal her name. But
no.
Yeah. Well,
shout out to Allison.
She's a teacher in Florida doing great work.
Yeah.
And she came out and that's understandable. It's kind of in a sketchy area. But once you walk in, people are like, whoa, I would go to this kind of place.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, once you're approaching it, it's
I wonder if anybody pulled the plug, you know, like rolled up in an Uber and was like, Keep driving. Just keep driving. Keep driving.
Oh, interesting. You know what I mean? I think more likely they planned on coming and then maybe saw, 15, 20 minute cab ride. It's like off the strip. It is. Like you got to like really, you know, it's not expensive taxi, but you got to put some effort in to get there.
Yeah,
and then maybe they were like, I don't know. Yeah. But the great part about that being off the strip is one, you're just off the strip and get away from that nonsense for a second. Yeah. And then two, let's be honest, drinks are affordable.
Whew. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Seeing that
and the
bill.
Film was great. Starboard Tack, let's give a shout out to them. Yeah. I thought the service was incredible too. I
amazing.
Mean, how many? Place. Okay, so how many people showed up? Do you think that was the thing? Because people were coming and going. 30?
Yeah,
40? Yeah, ballpark.
I would 45 is the number that jumped into my head.
Okay.
Yeah, that's and we didn't do an incredible job promoting it because we didn't know what was going to happen either.
I didn't know what we were ever promoting.
Yeah.
Hey, we are going to a bar. Come on by if you want. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm not calling you out promoting it. No. We had some people say I couldn't figure it out. I had to like rewind your show like 15 times to find out where you guys were going to
be. We should have made a graphic is what you're saying. We should have.
But at the same time, it was real low key. The people who wanted to be there were there. Yeah, and it went pretty damn seamless. We had a lot of cool
people. We had a good spot because we're right by the door where the bar was. So you walk in and then you're like, oh, there they are. There's Lily. There's Tess or whatever. I think we got a chance. Hopefully we got a chance to talk to everybody that made it out. I think we did. And grab a photo if you wanted and stuff like that. So
that's why I like the number.
Yeah. At least one of us talked to, I think, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I think most people were pretty good at like, you know, talking working to you around. And then making their way over me and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there was a great father-son combo. A cool father brought his son, who was 19 years old, and he looked around and said, well, I'm definitely the youngest person here.
Right.
Listen, we've got younger fans, but, you know, they don't have cool dads like that bringing them to an event. And I do think, maybe I'm calling out Starboard Tack, but I think this father brought his son a beer as well.
Oh, yeah. Cool, man. Cool
move. It's a cool move. It's a cool move. 19.
It's 19. Drinking age is 19 in Ontario. For
it is dumb. It's dumb.
It's dumb.
It is dumb. But in Vegas, it might be smart, actually.
So that was a lot of fun. Shout out to the stream team. I should say that right now, joining us live here on YouTube. Take a second. Like the video. Subscribe if you haven't. Comment away as you are there in the stream team. Apologies too for the Saturday show not being live on YouTube. There was a bit of a hiccup. We talked about it on the show with our credentials, and that meant then we had to buy a ticket to get in, which then meant we couldn't bring our laptops in and our bags, and that was a problem for JD, which meant then we couldn't go actually live on YouTube. But of course the video is now up on YouTube because you put the work in.
Right. Yeah. Hindsight 2020. I could have gone a day early to get my credentials, you know, and then realized
that you didn't
have credentials.
Right.
And then I could have came up with a scheme. So I'm going to take the hit on this one. There's a lot of people above me that I could just throw under the bus right now. I'm not going to do that. But ultimately, I'm taking the it's my fault. So apologies.
And in the end, it's still there anyway.
Exactly.
Go watch it. Yeah. Go listen to it. It's actually, I think, a really fun show in the end. Talking a little Summer League, talking some NBA news, and then talking a ton about just stories from Vegas, including having my buddy Grish and Mattio there with us, who were at the party too, and that was a big surprise for a lot of people. I think my buddy Grish was a little overwhelmed at first, but that was before he had the drinks flowing in
him.
When people were like, that's my buddy Grish. And, whoa, that's my buddy Grish. He was, what's going on here?
And he put on a show.
Exactly. Yeah. A couple whiskeys later, and then he was holding court with everybody. But yes, a lot of fun, and thank you to everybody that came. And the plans moving forward here, as we hopefully move out of COVID and all that, back to live shows too.
Yeah.
I would love to be doing that again. So we'll figure that out. Maybe at the very earliest All-Star break next year. Where is it? Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah. We got to do a show there.
I've never been there. So we'll see. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. This week's schedule, let's just say this. The summer schedule starts to change here a little bit.
Yes.
There's not a lot of basketball to talk about, but that doesn't mean we won't be doing shows. You got a new one dropping tomorrow. We do. No Bunts. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's glorious. Tomorrow.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, I'll do a weekly pod. Not going. Oh, baby. baby. Yeah, we're not going to go through.
Is this just going to play through the entire
an
podcast?
An hour track. It's a good decision, I think. Let's make that happen. But it'll be fun. We're not going to go through the day-to-day baseball, not game 140 and 141. But we're going to be talking about the bigger issues in the game. Weekly, no bunts. And the same bunt time, same bunt channel as in 10 a.m. live Eastern here on YouTube.
And that'll, live, be a on, that'll live on No Dunks.
Of course.
At least for when we start this thing. Okay, first pitch tomorrow.
First pitch, opening pitch, babe. You want to throw out the first pitch?
Well, you just told me I'm on it. So I actually would like to. A ceremonial first pitch, I'll throw it. That'd be great. I might bring a glove just to
just hit it.
Hit while you're talking.
Just slap the leather.
Well, I know you know stuff about baseball, but I know nothing, okay? So I'm
perfect.
I don't know a ton either. You're literally calling me up from like...
the minor leagues?
The A1.
The A1.
The Little Leagues.
Off to a good
little
start.
Little Leagues. I'm literally being called up from the Little Leagues.
Pee-wee?
Yeah. I'm still hitting off a tee, man.
All right.
But we'll be fine. So that's tomorrow, No Bunts, our new baseball podcast. And then on Wednesday... You guys are just putting me on all the shows I know nothing about, the sports. I'm going to be filling in for TK, who, like we said, is on vacation. I'll be talking with our guy, Graydon Gordian, about the Austrian GP, which happened over the weekend. So I got some races to watch here. I haven't watched them yet. But Nora, God bless her soul, took notes for me.
Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah, on the sprint. Oh, because, like, of course, the one I got to do is the one where they have a second race. So they have the sprint race.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll talk about it with Graydon.
What does that mean?
Yeah, they do it every once in a while. There's like, it's just to try to get a little more excitement there in terms of like qualifying and stuff like that. There's points involved. See, look at me. I know.
Listen to you.
Yeah.
You're prepared. Vroom, vroom.
Definitely don't do this when you drive a car. Don't do that. That's a motorcycle. I know that as well.
That's the Vince Carter motorcycle.
Yeah, but Nora's helped me out with that. Tried to get her on. I said, come on.
Come on.
She just doesn't want to do it. She's like, I don't want to be on camera. She's like, look what you're doing. You don't know anything. And she feels like she doesn't, but she knows 100 times more than most people about this sport, about F1.
Yeah.
She was just at a race in
Montreal last month.
Hey, I can only ask so many times.
That's true.
You know, she doesn't want to do it. But she's helping out with the notes. So, we'll be doing that on Wednesday. No Breaks has its own podcast feed. You guys know that. It's own YouTube feed. So we'll be going around 1 p.m. on Wednesday. With Graydon. Hear from the Classic Factory, hopefully.
Correct.
So I haven't seen that guy in a while. It'll be great. And then later this week, finally, Thursday, Friday, TBD, but we are going to do a film session on the new Giannis Disney movie, Rise. Hopefully have a guest swinging by for that one as well to talk about it. So if you want to in the next couple days and you haven't already, go check out Rise and then we'll break it down.
Yeah.
JD, you're like a little concerned... That it's like, we thought maybe, it's a Disney movie. It's probably going to be pretty bad. We can make fun of it and stuff.
Yeah.
But the reviews are really, really good for this. So we'll see.
It's so much more fun to trash a movie.
Exactly. That's my feeling.
Maybe I'll just trash it I'm going to just dig in, find every flaw, and just point it out.
Okay.
Point out everything that's wrong with this movie. But it's about Giannis. It's a... coming of age story. I'll probably be bawling my head off on the couch watching this thing. So it's going to be tough, but we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
So Rise film session later this week. And hopefully we'll have a guest helping us break that one down. Because I don't think we'll have Trey or Lily back.
No.
It'll just be the three of us.
They'll be back. Trey will be back next week. And then we'll be going throughout the summer as well. No Dunks is not stopping by any means. The shows will keep coming on a regular throughout July and August.
Yeah, like it's like a little tag team action, really, if you think about it. There'll be some tags in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I'll tag out at one point. And then I'm gone. You guys are running the ship.
No wrestling podcast, though. Tag team.
I mean, you never know.
I can't start watching wrestling. I listen to podcasts about wrestling already.
Yeah.
But that would be a weird podcast where I just comment on
the podcast.
Wrestling podcast talking about wrestling.
I mean, that's
watching it.
That's sort of what I'm doing with baseball as well.
Okay.
But,
thank you for your honesty. Yeah. You're never watching a single game.
No, I'm watching.
Lincoln wants to do a UFC podcast. No Taps, he's calling it.
Oh, that's really good.
So, all right,
Lincoln. No problem.
15-year-old son.
Hey, we got a lot of summer hours.
That's true.
There, so
I mean, let's just throw stuff at the wall and see if something sticks.
Exactly.
You never know.
Throw it at the cage.
Yeah.
Tougher to stick to it, Kate.
Well, is it?
I guess you hook onto it by accident. Mm. Let's get into the questions here. Okay. First one. Hi, No Dunks crew. Longtime listener slash watcher since your first episode as the starters. First time question submitter, though. I'm an avid Bulls fan. And so when 36-year-old Goran Dragic signed on, I checked to see if he was the oldest player on the roster. But much to my surprise, he is nowhere close to being the oldest player listed. That honor rests comfortably in the hands of the Bulls' newest draft pick, Dalen Terry, who is listed as being, and I think we have a photo here, 122 years old on NBA.com. There it is, if you're watching here on YouTube. He's listed as 122. He's quite old.
His birth date seemed to screw up, seemed to break the database. Because his birth date is January 01, 1900, and that's why he's 122.
I see. We'll have to get Cute Steve on that to fix that over there at NBA.com.
Almost as old as me.
Yeah, Lee's age. So with Terry's historic age here of 122 and the Bulls' latest addition, it got me thinking, who is the oldest player to make the most impact on a new team? And that's from Malik H.
An oldie making a big impact.
Right.
I went with Marc Gasol. 2019.
Okay. Yep.
He was 34 years of age the February trade deadline when the Raps acquired him, and then he became the starting center on a championship team mere months later. And I remember sitting at the NBA TV desk contemplating, is this the right move? Getting Marc Gasol, who's going to be, again, he's 34, putting him in there, you trade, you know, from, if you zoom out, Jonas Valanciunas, who was the big part going back, a guy who's 7 years younger, but this move worked out absolutely perfectly. Not so much the stats when it comes to Marc Gasol, but the lack of stats on the other side in one particular series, that playoff run,
right.
Round number two against Joel Embiid, he was phenomenal. Against Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. He's such a good defender, and especially against really big guys. Embiid was 17.6 points in that series, only 37% shooting from the floor, and he took about four threes a game, which I think speaks to how good Embiid was.
Yeah. I think I did a
trivia. Or how good Gasol was.
Yeah, I think I did a trivia question once back on Who Wants Some Trivia? Who knows? Hey. Maybe that'll be back this summer. That, like, in terms of seven-footers in one playoff run, Marc Gasol actually had the record for most three-pointers made in one playoff run, the entirety of it all.
Wow.
Because he hit a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it helped that he went to the finals, of course, won the championship and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
A seven, I know not a lot of seven.
Because it's like Channing Frye, you would think is Dirk, but yeah. Isn't that wild?
But Dirk didn't do
No.
He was shooting a lot of twos.
Yeah.
People think Dirk's just a three-point shooter. But that's, there's not a huge list of seven-footers that hit a lot of threes, and that's why Karl Anthony Towns can call himself the best shooter in the world. But anyways, so I didn't even realize the offensive impact. To be honest, I didn't even look at that. It was the defensive impact, being able to slow Embiid in a series that obviously went down to the wire, the wires of wires with Kawhi Leonard hitting that shot. And it feels kind of weird that good a defensive player is out of the league now, even talking about Marc Gasol. But maybe he was in the NBA at the perfect time. You know, we usually say, this guy's would have been better in that era. But Marc Gasol came around at a perfect time where bigs mattered defensively, so you could start hitting three-point shots. But now you kind of have to be extremely nimble to play at the five spot. Yeah. Now, he would still be good if he was in his prime. But that's the one for me. And Embiid has some great numbers in that series in terms of plus-minus and all that when he was on the court and off the court. And he was sick at times, but I think Marc Gasol also made him sick because he was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. That's a great answer. We'll throw that one at everybody in the stream team, everybody listening later. Like an old guy that came to a team and made a positive impact, either like in winning series or in Marc Gasol's case, winning the title and then getting to chug a bunch of wine on the parade bus.
Yeah. Which is big impact there.
Big impact there. All right. Let's move it on to our next one.
I don't want to start this the way the emailer started it, but I'll do it anyway. Hi, Stinky Dinkies.
Okay.
I have a question. Considering the fantastic playoff performance by Andrew Wiggins and the decent performance from Klay Thompson, which one would you rather keep if you could only keep one?
Mm.
That's love from Sweden in an email from Armand.
Okay.
Now, I got to say, Clay was very good in the playoffs.
He was.
Yeah.
I got the numbers for you.
Yeah, man. Go ahead. Because I think looking back, people would say, he was average, but
okay,
he was good.
Now, I'll be honest. When I first saw this question that you put in, Tass, I was like, this is the dumbest question I've ever heard. That was my immediate gut reaction.
Nice.
Klay Thompson or Andrew Wiggins, are you kidding me? Like, mm-hmm. And you know I've always been a huge Klay Thompson fan. Even pre-championship days there, yeah. Klay on the Warriors. Remember there was the whole trade Klay for Kevin Love and all that? You can go back. You can check the tape. I said, don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's a dumb move. You should stick with Klay. So I'm saying this because I'm a huge Klay fan, and I was like, wow, this is ridiculous. But you do a little deeper dive, mm-hmm. and you compare the ages of them.
Yeah.
Obviously, Klay coming back from injury. Wiggins, you know, getting better and improving, and especially defensively and committing to that end of the floor. Then it becomes like, if you can only keep one at this point, mm-hmm. who would the Warriors pick if they were forced into that situation? Because Klay 32, Wiggins 27 as we go into here. So, okay, that's a pretty big difference. I mean, Wiggins really is – it feels like Andrew Wiggins has been playing for 2 decades now, but he's like entering his prime, which is weird to say. Klay, like I said, coming off the injury, he only played 32 regular season games. So he played in the playoffs, and he did play well. Wiggins, though, that guy's like an Iron Man. All he does is play 73 regular season games. Of course, didn't miss really a playoff game as well, just like Klay. Klay averaged 20 points per game. This is a regular season. 43, 38, 90 splits. Wiggins averaged 17 points per game, 47, 39. So he shot the ball better from three in the regular season, mm-hmm. than Klay. And then 63 at the line. That's the one area of Andrew Wiggins' game where he still struggles. He can't hit a free throw to save his life. But then you take in the defense, and Andrew Wiggins at this point of his career, he's a better defender than Klay, who was coming off injury. Yeah. And Klay was an underrated defender. I mean, everybody's just like, oh, yeah, he's a splash brother. All he does is hit threes. But he was instrumental in a lot of those championships.
Oh, yeah.
With his job defending usually one of the better perimeter players on the other team. But, I mean, I say all of that to say I'm like really torn now. I don't know which way to go because I think Klay is still one of those such a special player. And yeah, Wiggins got a lot of the buzz in the postseason because it was like, well, look at this guy rebound. Look at these huge dunks, like these big plays. But you look at Klay's run, like he had still 30-point games, you know, 25-plus point games. He was always good for like one a series, it felt like, which is, man, if that can win you that game of that particular, that can obviously help you go on to win the series. Like, he had a big game against the Nuggets. He had a big game against the Mavs. He had the 25-point, he had a good game against the Celtics, came in a loss, and then he had one against the Grizzlies, of course, where those, he hits those 7-8 threes, and mm-hmm. it's like a game changer. Like, that's just like, you already got Curry, now you got this guy hitting 7-8 threes. It's like, oh my God, how do you stop that? But then the other side of that is the defense from Wiggins and just how important he was at slowing some of the guys down. I don't know. I don't know how to answer this because mm-hmm. I feel like it should be Wiggins, but like I can't do that to my guy Klay.
Mm.
So I think if I'm just saying next season alone, and he's hopefully going to be more healthy, I'm going to still go Klay for 1 year.
I don't think you're wrong.
Okay.
But I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Wiggins. It doesn't feel right. I totally agree with you. And Klay had a good playoff run. It wasn't exceptional, but he did have a big game here, big game there. And if you look at the numbers, he scored more than Wiggins.
Yep.
He averaged 19 in the playoffs. Wiggy, as much press as he got, was 16.5. Yeah, but the defense is so big. The age gap from 27 to 32 is really what it comes down to.
Right, right.
27 to 32 is such a huge gap in terms of an NBA player. How many more good seasons does Klay have left? Now, the Warriors have done such a good job of bridging the olds with the new. They've got Moses Moody in the wings. They've got Jonathan Kuminga in the wings. So maybe you could say they've got a Wiggins replacement coming down the pike anyways. Mm-hmm. But I think Wiggins' skill set might be a little bit more important than Klay's skill set for the next couple of years for the Warriors because he gets after it on the boards. He nearly led this team in rebounding in the postseason just behind Kevon Looney, their starting center. And they don't have a lot coming down the pike in terms of bigs. James Wiseman got his run there at Summer League. Maybe he could be a big, but they're so far, they're way more thin at the big man position. Yeah. And so his skill set might be a little bit more important to this team because, as you said, he's the best defender on this squad when it comes down to it, which is, man,
well,
that's an odd thing to say.
Hold on.
Draymond Green. Sorry. I say that. I mean like a guy who can really guard on the perimeter. Draymond Green is their heart and soul defensively, but a guy who can really take somebody on the perimeter, who's a real wing. I mean, Draymond will do that as well, but you know, with Iguodala getting old and Clay now getting older, Livingston gone, like they don't have one guy. Now, Moses Moody, again, Kuminga, again, could be guys that can supplement that. But as you said, it feels like Wiggins played forever. It's only 8 seasons. He is an Iron Man. Mm-hmm. He really plays night in and night out. Yeah, I think it's Wiggins, which feels stupid
well,
to say.
Well, I mean, Chiggs in the Stream Team, they literally just won a championship with Wiggins being more valuable and he's younger. He's saying, "Why? Don't overthink this."
Yeah, I guess more valuable. When you look at the stats, Clay was good. But, yeah, on both ends, I guess more valuable is true, I guess.
Yeah, I just love having the option of a guy. I think, like, how do you game plan for the guys, like, he's the second greatest shooter possibly of all time. Mm-hmm. We got to worry about the first guy. But then this guy, he's almost a lock every 5 or 6 games, it feels like, to hit 7 or 8 threes. That's Clay. Like, I mean, look, he'll miss his first couple, and then he's going to keep shooting. Like, he ain't going to change, but that's fine because he's convinced the next one's going in, and we should all as well because he's that great. But that's just like Wiggins, man, consistently was awesome during this playoff run. And the work he did on the glass, like you said, just being a big guy for this team, was huge. Like, he bumped up his rebounds per game. Like, it skyrocketed to, like, whatever he did in the postseason. Probably 7.5 or 8 or something like that.
7.5, yeah.
So, you know, that's awesome, and that's important to win a championship. But, like, there's something – Clay is just special to me like that, where, again, if it's just 1 game, 2 games in a series, that's – see, I argue that's more oddly valuable in some weird way. And I will, Clay, again, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He's coming off 2 years out of the league. He comes back, and the guy's still, like, basically a 20-point-per-game scorer. Like, that. Mm-hmm. Come on. Like, that's something. So now if we move into a full season where he's got the whole offseason to still recover, and, you know, it's not like he's going to, like, fall out of love with the game. Like, all he does is want to shoot the basketball. He's like Lee Ellis. So, yeah, I'm still going Clay.
That's fine. I'm still going Clay. That's acceptable. And there is something to be said for Clay's gravity, like you said. You still have to guard him out there. They did allow Wiggins to be open of the teams that I'm talking about that were playing against him. So that is different. Wiggins got open because they have Curry and because they have Clay. Clay was still being guarded with one guy trailing and all that. And Wiggins was sort of the third scorer. But, you know, then you go back and you say, well, Jordan Poole's coming along. Can he be a little more Clay-like? And I'm not sure you can replace what Wiggins did. It was a special run, special problems to have for this Golden State Warriors team.
Absolutely right. That's a fun one. Good question there. All right, next one. What's up, JD and the straight shots? I was recently pondering how JD, through no desire of his own, has to listen to thousands of hours of the NBA discussion and content every year as the esteemed producer of No Dunks. I started thinking that he might actually know more about the NBA than some casual fans, despite not being a fan himself. Mm. So my question is, if JD has ever been in a situation where someone was talking hoops and he realized he knew more than them. Cheers and thanks for the laughs. That's from Marcus in SoCal.
Mm. Well, it happened this weekend, actually.
Oh, boy. I was hoping you were going to have a story.
Yeah. On the elevator at where were we staying?
Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
Where were we staying? We were there yesterday.
I know, but we never left except to go to Starboard Tech. Really?
Nah, yeah. It's easy to forget where you are. Yeah. I brought home a notepad and a pen from Mandalay Bay for each of my kids, and it says Mandalay Bay on them. So I remember it's distinctly in my brain. That was their gift.
Wow, so smart.
They like it. They like it a lot, of course.
Thank you, Daddy. So I was on the elevator, and this guy is talking to his buddy. He was still under the impression that John Wall was on the Wizards.
Wow, nice.
And I was like, well, I didn't say anything. I should have piped up, but I verified this morning, but I thought, I'm pretty sure he just signed with the Clippers. And before that, he was on the Rockets. But,
right.
But this poor guy, he's like, Beal just signed this deal. And when Wall comes back, just watch it. Like, we're going all the way. And I was just like, oh, this poor bastard. But I didn't I didn't know for sure, so I didn't say anything. I should have piped up and at least said, he's not on the Wizards. Right. I know that 100% for sure. So there's that. And there was also one of Jackson's friends. He's constantly sending Jackson highlights of LaMelo Ball with GOAT under it. Oh, wow. And so when he hangs around here a lot, and then he was, I heard him talking about it, I'm like, just pump the brakes there, Luan. He's great. He's a very exciting young player.
Absolutely.
But it's a little early to say he's the GOAT. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
but he's the, that's that age difference.
Right.
I saw the Instagram highlights.
Oh, and, totally.
And then fell in love with him.
Might be the Instagram GOAT. Maybe.
Maybe.
It might be Mikey, who will be coming soon.
Who's Mikey?
You're old. Mikey? Wait,
maybe.
He's like a
teenage phenom.
I'm just a... somebody on the stream team tell me if he just committed to a college. Yeah. He is the Instagram star player.
Maybe I've seen him.
Wow. He was, or at least I know of. I'm sure there's one even below him that's coming up next. But yeah,
Mikey, that's good. That's a good nickname.
Yeah, I think he has that Instagram handle.
That's
impressive.
Wow, just straight up Mikey.
Yeah, I think so. Fact check me, everybody. But I think so.
It's just like LaMelo, right? LaMelo has. Oh no! What is his Mello?
I know Amir Blumenfeld has a mirror.
Yeah,
he wants to sell it to Amir Coffee, who reached out to him about getting it.
Wow!
And so I think Amir told him, "You sign your first big deal, and then we could talk."
Amazing.
So Amir is calling the shots. Amir Blumenfeld is calling.
He's the one in control.
The one with the power.
He's got the handle. He's like, "How bad do you want at Amir for your Instagram account?" Hey. 100,000 will do it.
You think?
I think so.
Is that?
I had some conversation with Amir. I mean, I could pull it up on my phone, but I did ask, what price range are we talking about?
Wow.
I think he wanted 6 digits.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
So I agree.
For Amir.
Coffee.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what he's not getting at coffee.
Well, no. Not, but it's spelled differently.
Yeah, but Paul Coffey's got that.
Oh, boy. We're not doing a hockey
podcast. No, skates starts on Friday. See you then.
I do know Paul Coffey's nephew pretty well, Kevin Coffey.
Really?
He could be on the show. Yeah.
You legit know him?
Yeah, friends.
What?
Yeah. His nephew.
I don't think
I've stayed at. I've stayed at Paul Coffey's cottage without him being there.
Wow.
Really? Well, I bet that was a baller cottage.
Nah.
What?
No, just a
regular. Was it in the
Cokes?
The Cokes. Please do not call it the Cokes. At least call it the Scokes.
I'm pretty sure it was Paul Coffey's cottage, or at least he owned a chunk of it. Either way, it was a coffee cottage.
Like a family cottage.
Yeah. It was a regular cottage. I don't want an extravagant cottage.
No.
No, I just figured Paul Coffey, the legend, hockey
Hall
player.
Hall of Famer, bro.
Yeah, definitely.
He's got to be a Hall of Famer.
Would have a sick, sick cottage. Like big...
Yeah.
On the water, of course.
No, it shook when we wrestled, actually. I remember that. Like, the foundation could have been better, I think, so.
Wait, hold on. So you're wrestling Kevin Coffey? And
I wouldn't want to wrestle him. He's a strong guy.
Kevin Coffey will possibly be on No Taps talking about fighting in his cut.
Let's see if he's got the coffee handle. But I remember Andre Iguodala. He's got Andre.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Amir Coffey can reach out and ask either LaMelo or Andre Iguodala, what's the ROI? If I give 100K, I think it's worth it.
Right. All right, I'll have to follow up with Amir Blumenfeld on the old Amir Coffey Instagram negotiation going on. Should I share the weird negotiation we saw happen in Vegas? Quick story time before we take a quick break. So Matty O's there. This is going to be a really strange story. I'll try and make it quick. We're on the casino floor, but we're at like one of the bars, and it's pretty late. This is the last night in Vegas, so this is super late Saturday night or very early Sunday, however you want to look at it, but time means nothing in Vegas. Anyway, Matt's hungry. There's like one place open. It's like 2 a.m. He's like, all right, I'm going to grab this pizza. Grabs it. Because there's no rules in Vegas, like, I love how you just take your food wherever you want.
Yeah.
So it's like he grabs the food, brings it over. We're in this bar area. It was good. It's hitting the spot. Everybody's taking a slice or two, but he got quite a bit of it, and there's like 2 slices left. And so this guy wanders over, and it's just been sitting there for like, I don't know, at this point, like 30 minutes.
Easily.
Nobody's probably going to eat
nobody's
it, though Matt it. Hates to waste food. So, maybe while he was wandering back to his hotel room, he would have chomped out on that. But anyway, this guy walks over, somewhat of a young guy, and he goes to me first because I was sort of closest. He's like, hey, anybody eating this pizza? Like, can I have this pizza?
Did he even ask? I thought he was...
No, he did. Or, yeah, he did because I was like,
I don't know if he did.
Well, he did ask, but he was already reaching for it. It was like, hey, anybody going to eat this? Like,
okay, so I said, hold, well, yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, well, hold on. I was like, and then I'm like, probably you should have it because I think we're going to throw it out.
Right.
But I'm also like, I don't know. It's not my, I didn't pay for it. And again, I know Matt and he would maybe eat it. So I sort of turned to Jill, who was with Matt. And I'm like, looking at Jill, I'm like, do we want to give this to him? Like, I don't care. And she's sort of like, I don't know. So I was like, hold on to the guy. I said, because Matt's having a conversation with somebody else. I'm like, Matt. So we've just keep in mind that we've had like basically three conversations with this guy about whether or not he can have the pizza. So right. I tell him, hold on, let's ask the guy that bought the pizza.
I also told him.
Yeah, you did too.
To wait, and yeah. I think Grish did as well.
No, he can't. Grish.
He wasn't there.
Yeah. Okay. So then I go, Matt, this guy wants to ask you a question. And so Matt, in his conversation, stops, turns to this new guy that has shown up and goes, go ahead. This guy, because he's drunk at 2 a.m, he just wants to eat this damn pizza. He thinks go ahead means
take the pizza.
Take the pizza. Yeah. So he starts grabbing for the pizza. Yeah. Matt starts, what are you doing? Don't touch the pizza. Because Matt has no idea any of these other conversations has just happened. No, okay, hold on. This guy, okay, what? And so basically, to get to the point of the story, a negotiation happens between this guy who doesn't even want the pizza for himself.
No.
Turns out he's trying to pick up a girl at the bar.
Absolutely.
Who's definitely tired, definitely hungry. I think she had her feet up, probably her heels killing her, you know. He's going to try and use this leftover pizza to get in the good graces of this girl that he's trying to pick up. And so Matt and him go back and forth a little bit. And they end up, I believe the final agreed negotiation was, you can have the pizza, Matt said. Mm-hmm. But if it works... and you picking up this girl and you go on to have a beautiful life and get married and maybe have a kid, you have to name your first child Pepperoni.
Yeah.
Because of the pepperoni pizza. And
he agreed to it right away because I think he knew there was no chance of a hookup, really.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
I mean, she wasn't impressed by the hour-old cold pizza that he bummed off a stranger.
Oh, no. She was impressed.
Oh, she wolfed it down. But then she's like,
yeah, screw him. Yeah. She got what she wanted.
Wow.
In a proxy. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's terrible because I did see the pre-negotiation before the negotiation. She was – I watched the whole thing where she was like – hey, go get that pizza for me.
She saw it.
She hawkeyed it. She saw it from miles away. I mean, it was at least 15, 20 feet. It wasn't close.
No,
anyways,
yeah.
But it was sort of propped up. It kind of was like on display. And he almost grabbed it right away. But I'm glad people were like, hey, that pizza that no one's touching, you can have that. You need to have a negotiation.
That's right. You got to work for it. But I will say that Matt, as soon as he realized that it wasn't his girlfriend, it was somebody he was trying to hook up with, he relented right away. He was like, okay.
Matt, it would have been a different negotiation if that was his wife.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Matt would have played hardball, but he was like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's let this guy try and use this leftover pizza to get this girl tonight. But didn't work. I did see at one point, like, she saluted with the pizza over to our table. Because Grisham saw that.
Oh, that's funny.
And then, because Grisham, the final part of this story is, Grisham came in late, JD, after we agreed, pepperoni, first child, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, take it. And then we sort of just all turned away. We're like, all right.
Yeah.
And Grisham then only saw this guy grab the pizza with my like back sort of turn and take it over to the girl. So Grisham comes storming in going, oh, this is great. You're not going to believe it. That guy just snuck a pizza from us. And we're like, no, you just missed like 20 minutes of negotiation for this. Okay.
Having a roni.
Maybe a cool story, bro, on all of that, but it's Vegas. Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not? Okay. Let's take our first break. When we come back, a bunch of other questions from you guys. Don't go anywhere. All right. Still here in the Classic Factory, still on the beach, reading your emails and tweets. Keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc. That's INC on the end, or drop them in the stream team. People seem to enjoy the pizza negotiation story.
Hmm.
So that's good to know. They said it was like an I think you should leave skit. Mm-hmm. Sam Yonono saying.
Kind of felt like it, actually.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. So yeah, that's all I wanted to tell you.
Good. All right, next one. Hey, fellas. I recently read an article where I found out that Jason Tatum has his own Ruffles flavored chips. Flamin' Hot BBQ by Jason Tatum. Yeah, we cracked them our live stream for our St. Jude fundraiser recently. Right. Tatum wanted to share the tastes of St. Louis with the rest of the country. Simple cue. If you could be the face of any food or beverage in hopes to spread the love and flavor, what would it be? Myself, I would happily be the face of mulled wine.
What?
Now, the emailer went on to say it's cold in Australia currently.
Oh, yeah. It's cold in Australia. I thought you meant the mulled wine was.
The mulled wine warms you up, and that's part of, I think it's fresh on the brain for him, but he says it's an underrated beverage, hydrates you, warms you up, and it tastes amazing. Yeah. So maybe it's not as good in the summer. I don't know. I'm not a mulled wine person. Anyway, it's like a big old hug from the inside, writes... Big Kronga Dogga.
That's a good one.
It's a great one. So, yeah, what would you be the face of, Skeets?
This is an easy answer. Raspberry ginger ale.
Mm.
Yeah.
No doubt. I'm one of its biggest fans. And here's the thing. Raspberry ginger ale is only, from what I can tell, only available through Schweppes. Okay. Now, I don't think Schweppes is as good a ginger ale as Canada Dry. Personal preference.
I agree with that.
So I'm sort of just shocked that Canada Dry doesn't have raspberry ginger ale. Because I was checking their website. It's actually a really nice website for a beverage. And these are the Canada Dry ginger ale flavors.
Okay.
Obviously the original. Now they have one, I've never seen it, ginger ale and lemonade. Okay. Mm-hmm. They have a zero sugar ginger ale. They have a bold ginger ale. Haven't tried that. It's caffeine free. Sort of like a old looking can. Huh. Like it's, you don't see the colors like, what is that, brown and mustard yellow. Okay, so there's that. There's cranberry ginger ale. Now that's what I think people, they might think that's raspberry. Right. You see it, it sort of looks like it, but it's cranberry. It's also delicious. And then there's I believe it's a blackberry ginger ale. They have all these berries, but they don't have the raspberry. Though, in doing the research, there's something similar to that ginger ale and lemonade where there's a ginger ale and raspberry lemonade. I haven't tried it yet. But I don't know why we just don't have a Canada Dry raspberry ginger ale.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. If you have all these and your competition has one, lean into it.
You would
and
think.
I think there was one at once upon a time. Like I swear to God, I can picture it in my convenience store, Cambria Quick Stop. Shout out to the Smythes. Smythe. His name was Conn Smythe. You know that story.
Wow.
I don't know that story.
Yeah, well, they bought it. Uh-huh. I went to school with Blair Smythe.
Yeah.
And his dad's name was Conn Smythe, which is obviously the hockey trophy, is it, or some sort?
The best playoff performer.
Is that what it is? Yeah,
wins the Conn Smythe. Yeah. But his name just happened to be Conn.
Just happened to be caught.
Conn, like
yep.
the
oh, wow. yep.
Like the fruiterer.
Yes, the fruiterer. That's right. That's right. Anyway, and I remember the Cambria Quick Stop. I ended up working there for a little bit too. I remember them having it, and then it just went away. I thought they brought it around like during the holidays.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then
too.
Okay, that made sense, and it would go away. But then they just like. Maybe more people were buying the cranberry. I don't know. But anyway, I want to be the face of raspberry ginger ale for Canada Dry specifically. Like, holler at me.
Is it possible that they made the raspberry?
Yes.
But people tasted it and was like, this doesn't really taste like raspberry. It actually tastes like cranberry. And they were like,
yeah, they taste different.
Oh, let's change
it. One's more tart.
Yeah.
Raspberry's more sweet.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just looking for answers. Mm-hmm.
You've been on riding this since you worked for the Smythes.
I loved that ginger ale so much.
And you can't get it here, is that right?
Well, I just said it looks like a Kroger by me might have this ginger ale and raspberry lemonade. That's a little different to me, but I'll give it a go. I'll try it. It's made with a splash of real juice. 1%. That's a splash. I mean, they're not lying. We'll try it.
Yeah, like the Smythe division. I guess it's gone. Yeah, hockey. For me, it's oregano chips or crisps. because they do exist. Oregano crisps are, you know, in Europe. They're not really here. And I guess it's me just sort of being nostalgic because I don't get a lot of oregano in my diet. And I used to eat it a lot as a young Greek boy. But now, I mean, Danielle's obviously controls every food item in my house because I don't contribute anything. And she doesn't really cook with it a lot. So I don't get oregano. And I know it's not the – doesn't sound all that great. Oregano chips. But they're fine.
It's a good flavor.
I've never seen oregano. Like, it's specifically oregano brand, like, flavored – like Hostess chips or whatever.
Yeah, they have Lay's has some.
Huh.
And other brands too. Yeah, just oregano. It sounds like a real European chip because you know, they don't eat chips like us fatty North Americans do. So they have don't eat as many crisps and chips. So it's, you know, it's not a high priority for them. I don't think they really go all out to create good chips. I don't think is what I'm trying to say.
I agree with that, Dave.
The flavors are not as good
you
in Europe than
they
are.
You know what it is? You're wrong about that.
Yeah.
If you go to Great Britain, the chip flavors are amazing. Like dill and something else, like dill and like brie cheese or whatever. They have more exotic chicken, roasted chicken dinner.
Okay.
It's like Willy Wonka style. You know, oh, it's like a meal on a chip.
Right.
Yeah, because they eat fewer of them.
Do they, though?
I don't know. Okay. You know, I
mean, if you're talking about the continent, yes, I agree with you. Yeah. But Great Britain, love their crisps.
I think really, like, you're not, I don't know. Why would I say this? But if I walked into a supermarket in London, is there going to be an entire aisle of chips?
Good question.
Crisps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But here, you know, you walk into any grocery store here, there's a whole entire aisle.
That's true.
Think about that. That's a lot of chips.
Yeah. I mean, I know for sure that you go to a local Sainsbury's in London and they have an entire aisle?
Yeah.
Aisle of like confections of like, of chocolate.
Yeah.
Cadbury's chocolate, Mars bars. They love that stuff. So
yeah,
they got a big sweet.
They like the sweet, maybe a little bit more than the salt.
Yeah,
for stereotyping.
Yeah. Let's stereotype.
Yeah, there's some stereotyping going on for sure. With me as well, saying they don't have as good as flavors because I'm just not used to a lot of those flavors.
Sure.
And listen, I'd like to be open to them, but I know I'm being a little xenophobic.
But hey, you're also answering the question like if they're popular somewhere else in the world, but. We got to get them going here.
Got to get them
then
going.
They need a face on that bag of chips. Yeah. And why
gotta
not
be,
yours?
I got to beat Giannis to the punch.
Yeah, right. Because
that'll happen one day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. JD, do you have an answer to this one?
I do have an answer, but I'm reluctant to say it because I wouldn't want my face to hurt the brand. You know what I mean? Like, with apologies to Starbucks by energy drink that I just tried to sell here on the show. But it's Guinness. You know, everybody knows I love Guinness. Yep. It's my favorite beer. It's good for you, as they say.
Some
not when you drink it the way I drink it, but, you know, they used to give it – I don't know if they still do this. In Biden, Ireland, they used to give it to pregnant women in the hospital.
Yeah.
So
– I don't think they still do that.
I don't think they do either. No. But it is the best beverage – in the world, and I don't want my face associated with it because I don't want it to go out of business, to, you know, and hurt the brand or anything like that.
Your face is better than a toucan bird or whatever. Then what do you got?
Yeah, true, but that's a cartoon.
Yeah.
I feel like they would look at me and go, "Is that what Guinness does to a person?" You know what I mean? Like, I'm a little bit draggled sometimes. You know, a bit of a mess is what I'm saying, and. Yeah, Guinness doesn't need that. They need like a clean-cut, sexy person to represent.
You think it's
brand.
The best beverage in the world?
Name one that's better.
I guess I love a Guinness, but I will say the problem with a Guinness, and we've talked about this before, is I'm not as into drinking it in the summer because it's a cold weather beverage to me.
But that's all in your head. Because if you're given a frosty, delicious Guinness on a patio.
On a patio.
I know. It sounds weird.
It doesn't sound.
Yeah, when it's coming out of my mouth, it doesn't sound right. And I also will rarely order a Guinness on a summer's day, like in the afternoon. But goddamn it, it's the best beverage in the world. It's perfect. It's perfect.
People are saying the best beverage in the world is water.
Okay. Yes, obviously. But guess what? There's water in Guinness. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, that's what makes water the best. It's almost in all of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Name a beverage that water isn't in.
Oh, gotcha. There doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's the best.
All right, next one here. If you thought that was dumb, wait till you get to this one. My sister and I were having a dumb conversation about Gary Payton's two sons, Gary Payton II and Gary Payton Jr. But it quickly became a heated debate, so I need your opinion on this issue. If Gary II had a son and named him after himself, would he be Gary III? Like Gary II?
Mm-hmm.
Or would he be Gary II Jr.? Or how about Gary II? Same goes for his brother, Gary Jr. Same, you know, same problem, right? Or what do you do? Don't get me started on the grandkids for these two. Hope you're all well after the long season. That is from our friend, longtime listener of the show, Jeshua. Let's stick with Gary Payton II, the double I. If he wants to do what his father did, like, you know, obviously naming him after himself, well, which way is he going here? Is he two squared? Is it the third? You know, what do you go with?
A complicated question, which, you know, I don't know if we're gonna go I think you should leave / Seinfeld on this one. I think it's simple. It's Gary Payton III.
Okay.
Triple I.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You
triple
know,
I.
Triple Roman numeral.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's like a Super Bowl.
Yes, he's a Super Bowl. Done. And yeah, it gets even more complicated if you're going to the junior side.
Yeah.
Gary Payton Jr. names the child. This is the answer, though. Stop naming your kids after yourselves.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
We don't need that. Wow, we don't need that. And quite often it's the man passing on his name to another boy when you're more than likely passing your last name on. Just allow the child to be himself. We hear so much about these athletes, and I saw Gary Payton at Summer League. I waved.
Wait,
I don't think
one?
He waved back. The original.
Oh, the OG.
The OG.
Yeah,
we've hung out a bit. You know, we hear all the time athletes don't want to live in the shadow of their parents, of their father specifically. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And every parent wants that child to be themselves. Allow them to grow into their names. Give them their own names.
Agree.
I'm guilty from someone. Of this. Yeah, yes. Yeah. You but said agree. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. I am named Terrence Jason Doyle. My father is Terrence James Doyle after his father. So I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
So they call me Jason because they didn't want to have a junior or mm-hmm. the third or whatever.
Okay.
And my dad goes by Terry. But he did it to make his dad happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it to make my dad happy.
Yeah,
so I called Lincoln Terrence Lincoln Doyle. And it's been a nightmare, to be honest, because he's constantly, every school he goes to, every class he's in is Terrence here. And, and
I'm
there's
here,
one,
but I'm Lincoln. Yeah, yeah.
Just, I go by Lincoln. And there's one teacher just simply refused to call him Lincoln because it wasn't that way on the list.
That's
so
insane.
I know.
It's not like he's coming up with like...
I prefer to be called Boo Boo or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Call me Killer.
Yeah.
Killer Mike. You know, it's like...
yeah. Just yesterday I got on the plane and, you know, they scan your boarding pass and they welcome Terrence. I'm like, all right, whatever.
I got the full Philip. I always, I was like, whoa, that caught me by surprise.
Okay. Committing to doing that to every single passenger, that's balls. For that woman,
you're
right?
Saying you the know? Woman checking, like just when we like, just get on the plane, yeah.
Yeah, because some names you don't know how to say them,
yeah.
You know, it's like okay, my name, Philip Terrence, that's fine, but
you know what,
it's great customer service.
It is, and in her position, it's actually good practice. I was thinking for difficult names,
yes,
because sometimes you know they have to get on the mic and say call for so and so, and like mm-hmm.
yeah.
Maybe in doing a lot of that, especially with those you know unique names that you're not really 100% sure how to pronounce it, like oh. You know, you get a little idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, some people might correct her. How many people are correcting her, though, at that point?
Nobody.
Very little.
Nobody.
Yeah.
But still, you know.
Okay. Yeah, they get good at it as well because they have the practice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, but she was doing it for everybody.
She was.
Wasn't slowing down the line, though, at least.
No, not at all. She was very good at it. Very good at it. Respect to her.
Back to this. I just thought about this. Why do we have to? Why does it have to be second or juniors? Will we see a Tass Mellis remix? Go remix. Add use remix.
Oh, remix.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's like now we're sort of the same, but new and improved usually a remix. Not all the time, but
2.0, 3.0.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Web 3 now is here. Yeah, let's.
Web 3.
If you want to honor somebody, make it the middle name. You can have unlimited amounts.
That's what you get. That's
so
the way to do it.
Just do that. Not the first name. Mm. That's a mistake.
I think I saw too. It may have just been this draft class. There is some. It's something like over 50% of all the guys coming in that were drafted have either like a player, someone in their family, generally like a father, let's say, that already played in the NBA, or in a lot of cases now, which is great, a woman, excuse me, their mom playing in the WNBA and stuff like that. It's like a super high percentage of these new athletes coming from former athletes.
Right.
And I think there's a massive reason why we're also seeing like junior after junior after junior. There's so many juniors now in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, I've said it before. I always just want to know, because some people want to include the junior, some people drop it. It's like, we need a list. Because I want to call people by the name they want to be called by.
Sure.
Yes, of course.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of the players coming into the league right now who's, you know, their names are the exact same as their father's are dropping the junior from their official name, which I think is a
So like Jabari positive. Smith, he's a junior.
Right.
And
I don't feel like it's part of it whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
But yeah, you've got the, Jaden Ivey's mom played for the Detroit Shock. Good. I'm glad we got through that. Anyway, hey, Dunkaroos, a few weeks back, I was having a Friday night in, and I figured I would drop some acid. Wow.
Holy crap. Wow. That took a turn.
It did, yeah.
What?
I was contemplating including this one, but I guess
Jesus.
I did.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's hold Friday on. Night. Hold,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but hold on. Let me add this part. A few weeks back, I was having a Friday night in, and I figured I would drop some acid I had laying around.
Oh, wow. My God. It's hey, man, have a Starbucks here. Buy energy next time. Jeez.
You might not want to have that lying around. Anyway, now at the best of times, I have a contentious relationship with my digestive system, but this time I figured the acid would make me forget all about it.
Wow. Take a Tums.
Boy, was I wrong. I spent the first few hours grappling with stomach pain while I started tripping. I was planning to watch Suns-Mavs Game 7, but that was over in the first quarter, and my stomach wouldn't let me get lost in any other pieces of content.
Okay.
At this point, I was getting scared. I mean, I had nothing to occupy my mind, and I could only think about my stomach. I knew a dark trip could lay ahead, especially as I still live with my parents, and you don't want that lying around. You live with your parents. And I definitely did not want to interact with them, so I was stuck in my room. That's when I decided to find any content that would direct my focus away from my stomach. Long story short, I ended up rewatching Fast Friends 5 to 9. Not in that order.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
5, 6, 7. That's 5 movies, right?
That's 12 hours of content.
Yeah.
Probably, at least.
And it turned my trip around. I was laughing for hours and totally forgot about my stomach. However, I no longer can confirm nor deny what any of you guys really look like. So the question is, what is a piece of content that has saved you from a stressful or unpleasant situation? Turn up, love you guys. Awesome. That's from Neil. P.S. I am saving FF1 4 for my
for
next
the next
trip.
Time I feel like doing acid.
You saved it.
Wow.
Neil. Damn it, man. Try it. You know what? Buy an energy drink, yes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you simply must be high, maybe some edibles. I don't know. Yeah, like, acid, it really messes with your brain. And Neil, I'm worried about you. Also flattered that you chose Fast Friends to guide you through what could have been a bad trip.
Yeah, I'm glad we helped.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, talking to people the other night, we help people through tough times sometimes, so it's nice to hear this. It's always nice to hear that we brighten people's lives, but Neil, please, lay off the acid, man.
Fast Friends 5, you started with a good one, at least.
Yeah, that's true, right? That's true.
Well, maybe that's why you jumped there.
Yeah, so my answer to this question, I've mentioned it before, I had a colonoscopy a couple of weeks ago, And there's a prep process, which involves a lot of sitting on the toilet, let's just say. Okay. It's very unpleasant. But I had a little setup. Lincoln walked into the bathroom right before I started the prep, which involves drinking this laxative, basically. But I had it all set up. I had a little table set up with my iPad. I had some Gatorade around, some clear liquids. I wasn't allowed to eat for 24 hours. I had no idea what to expect. But I was on that toilet for at least 2.5 hours. And I was watching my biggest comfort movie, which is The Devil Wears Prada. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci. They got me through that. Wow. They got me through that. 3 a.m., just watching it, and it ended, and I just started it over.
No way.
I did, yeah. Because you can't, it's hard to pay attention as well when your ass is exploding, basically. And so I just watched that movie. It's great.
You think that's one of your favorite movies of all time?
I think so.
Wow.
It sounds weird to say it, but it's good.
Yeah.
And those four that I just named are like my favorite actors.
Do you watch the Stanley Tucci does like Italy?
No, I haven't watched it yet. Yeah. I don't like watching shows about food because it just makes me want to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Do you have the Tucci attachment for your toilet? Oh, that's Tucci.
As a matter of fact, don't say the name, but I don't have that one, but I have one upstairs. But I didn't want to be in that one because it's attached to the bedroom. Like it's in our, I didn't want to be sitting on that toilet while my wife was sleeping. So I didn't use
those
that
are powerful, those bidets that you attach.
Oh, boy. They are.
They're so good. I can't believe we haven't, like, one hasn't come and sponsored the show. I'm looking forward
to
it because
that's what you're
I love mine. I could go on for hours about that.
That's the only thing about these bidets that people are attaching to their toilets. People that have them can't stop talking about
them. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
You, my buddy Grish, nonsense. You tested his out. He's got him at the cottage. The cabin.
A cottage bidet.
And you were, didn't you, like, what's that? You, like, sprayed it across the room.
Yeah, I sprayed it from his toilet to the wall on the opposite side of the bedroom.
That's
a big
washroom.
That's like 30 feet.
Yeah. Wait, because is it on it? He had one of the handheld ones?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's good.
There's a handheld attachment. Yeah. Because I couldn't believe that there would be a bidet at a cabin.
Yeah. Wow.
I just didn't know what I was dealing with. That was probably the second time I've ever touched one. I know you're not supposed to touch them anyway. but I didn't know the power.
Yeah.
Didn't know the power of these.
Yeah, you do have to ease into it.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah, because there is a bit of a dial on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I was worried. I couldn't hook up the heated version to my toilet. So I was cold. It's always cold. And I was worried about that for some reason, but
it's better.
If you're in the market, don't worry about the heated. Just go cold. Yeah,
hook up some
nice
mulled wine to that.
Yeah. Just swirl around the mulled wine.
It's like a hug for your ass.
That's right. And you know what's hilarious? Just related to this, YouTube has this new thing where you can just sort of place ads in a live stream. I think it knows we're talking about bidets because we just got an alert saying now would be a good time to insert ads.
Say ass?
No, it says ads. Ads.
Amazing.
Wow. Of course they're listening. They're watching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of YouTube, my answer to this question about a piece of content that saved me from a stressful or unpleasant situation. You guys know the frame that we got from Turner Broadcasting, this beautifully framed flag concoction of the American and Canadian flag, half of each flag together, one vexologist emailed in. Vexology, the study of flags, emailed in and said, God, vexologically speaking, that thing is beautiful. It is.
I agree.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But it's huge.
Yeah, it's gigantic.
It's 6 foot wide, and I could barely get my hands around it. It's like basically my wingspan. And maybe 4 feet tall, and it's framed with glass. It's very heavy. So I was concerned with hanging the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a YouTube video of, difficult hangs really came through.
Nice.
nice tape job. I know you go the tape route when you hang. Yep. That really helped out. Just, it was easy. Just find the studs, bang, bang. It's not that heavy. It's not hundreds of pounds, so.
I always wanted to buy one of those things. You might see them pop up in an Instagram ad or something, like those things that help you, like, I don't even know how to describe them. Like, find the, not, I mean, stud finder and all that, but like, it's for specifically just hanging things. Mm. It's like a weird ruler type thing that like crisscrosses and you can move, and I don't know, it looks cool. Mm. But then it's like, I don't want to buy it, because then once everything's hung up, it's like, why would I need it?
Right.
It's a product.
Yeah, but you hang photos and things a lot, it seems.
But a lot? I mean, once it's done, I'm not changing it all the time.
How much is it?
See, I think this is one of these products that's like a communal product.
Yes.
That we should have as a group of friends.
Right, yeah.
Everybody, almost like a membership.
Yeah.
Like we kick in whatever our membership is, a month or a year, and we buy these things that you like that, perfect. A power washer.
Yes.
These things that like you don't use all that often, but everybody needs them.
Share them.
And we just share them.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Not bad.
There's something there.
Love it.
Does that thing exist? Is that a real thing already? All right. Those are great answers. I don't really even have a good answer for this one, but let's hear from everybody out there. Piece of content saved you from a stressful or unpleasant situation. Let's take one more break. And when we come back, we got another great question.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
So people are reacting in the stream team to that idea I thought I just came up with about like we should buy communal products in a group setting, share them. Someone pointing out that you can do that stuff with tools at like Home Depot, but I mean, I'm saying why not have it in our circle? But the issue is people think, AJ says, someone's going to hoard those things in the circle and it's going to be awkward to ask them back. In that kind of situation. So there's always going to be someone that ruins it.
Not our circle. I don't think so.
I think it would work.
We've been working together for 17 years, man.
Yeah.
So Grisham's got my leaf blower.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Waiting for it back. Oh, boy. I think that's one of those things that you don't... it is one of those. Like, it's nice to have anytime you want to... But I never use it. But it's nice to have every once in a blue moon.
He uses it all the time.
I could
see
him.
He really does.
I could see him using that.
Yeah. I only want to use it now when I figured out I could use it on my eaves troughs when I go up and blow them
interesting.
Out. Interesting. Wow. Yeah, makes it a lot easier than me getting too close to the edge there.
Yeah.
You should borrow it from Grish because that's a powerful one.
That's yours.
Yeah.
Hold on. I have borrowed it from him.
I'm sure you have.
But I gave it back.
Yeah, it's super powerful.
I hate having things in my possession. I want them. That's why I love this idea.
Yeah.
Ooh, who holds them? I mean, I guess they're always moving, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's whoever had it last. So I guess Grish is holding it. If you need to ask to borrow a leaf blower, I have one, so you can borrow.
No, but that's mine.
Powerful, though?
Really powerful.
I have a rinky-dinky one that's okay.
It's electric.
Mine is, too. It's nice to invest in a leaf blower because the rinky-dinky ones...
Yeah, hold on. Mine's electric, too. Yeah, what am I talking about? I'm not running enough gas or anything.
Nah.
But the crappy ones, like the $40 ones, like they work, but not when I get up on the eaves troughs.
No. Not getting out sludge.
No.
They call them gutters here, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've said this to Americans.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah. Eavesdrop.
Well, maybe it's because we were talking about the European fashion I was going to be pulling off.
That's right.
Because also people were saying, you can't be wearing a dinner jacket over here in this heat. It's 35 degrees right now in Europe. 35.
Nothing.
That's cold, yeah, first off. I'll have a Guinness, sir. come on, at night?
Yeah.
And even Vegas. I was wearing sweaters. It's too cold in these places.
Some of them, yeah.
They go overboard. I hate that so much. I get it. It's 110 outside. It sucks. But we don't need to have it at 55 in the place.
Keeps you awake, though. You're in the casino. It keeps people, if it's hot at all, you're like, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. They don't want that.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's part of the design.
But what about if I'm hotter in the casino, I'm like, ooh, I'm thirstier. I want to drink more.
Free drink? No.
Yeah.
By the way, MGM... Where, Mandalay Bay, I forgot again.
It is the MGM family of casinos.
It is, yes. But one night, you guys were at a blackjack table, I feel like 2 hours, and not one single free drink.
Yeah, that was rough. Must have been a staff shortage or something that night.
Yeah, it must have been, yeah.
That was weird, because that's weird.
That is weird. Yeah. That's strange. At least something.
That was parched.
Well, and then the what do you call it? The shuffle...
Yeah, the automatic shuffler.
Yeah. It straight up broke. I'm convinced it broke. That guy was trying to tell us this is a normal amount of time.
No, to he shuffle. Didn't say that. He did.
I asked him. I was like, remember, like, it was 5 minutes we're waiting. I'm like, why? We're just sitting here at this blackjack table, not doing anything. Tass and I, maybe one other person. And we were doing fine. You know, we were on a bit of a run. And I'm like, there's no way it takes this long.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, remember he looked down or you were on his side and said, like, it's like 30% done.
Yeah. It was very slow.
And we're like, so we literally stopped playing. We stopped giving money to the casino because we were like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, and I think it was broken or it wasn't closed all the way or something was happening. But
yeah, he came up with an excuse later saying the door was open, but it doesn't make sense because it was still working. It just wasn't working well. But the player we were playing with got up and got out of there because it was taking too long.
It was taking
But then the dealer said, you don't want that guy playing here anyways. He stayed on a 15 against a face. You don't want him. Get him out of here. I love it.
You know what would have made that situation a little easier? A free drink, maybe.
Oh, don't worry. I asked about that, too. I was like, is anybody coming around? I had a lot of... Well, I would turn into Matty O with my complainted area. I'm like, why is everything taking so long? I just want to give you my money.
Yeah.
In fact, out of spite, JD, I just dropped all my money on the table. I'm going to bed. Save myself 2 hours. I know I did that the next night at the roulette table.
Oh, did you? I believe JD.
Wow. Yeah. All right. We have one more question here. Do we not?
Yeah.
We do. Hello, No Dunks. I was listening to an episode when I heard JD mention he worked on the cartoon Johnny Test. As someone who grew up watching that show, I want to know more about what JD did for it and why. Who had the most unusual, unrelated prior career? Did he work on any other cartoons? My question for everyone, what did all of you do for careers before TBJ/the starters/the free agents/no dunks? Keep up the great work. That's from Alex K in Ohio. So, yeah, Johnny Test.
Yeah. I'll start with the why I did it. They paid me. They paid me a pretty decent wage, actually, to work on that show. What I did on the show was I was a music editor. And it was great. It was one of the hardest shows I've ever worked on. I probably worked with the best composers I've ever worked with, Ian Lefevre and Ari Posner.
Mm. So why was it harder than some of the other ones?
If you watch the show, it is wall-to-wall music, and the music changes literally every 10 seconds at least. So a lot of different cues to pull in, a lot of moments that need to be hit. The creator of the show, Scott Fellows, I think he has ADD or whatever. Like he just constantly wants like every move that the characters make. There's like a whoosh, a whip crack or a whoosh or whatever. So it's a very, very, very busy show. But it was one of the legit funny shows that I worked on also worked on Caillou, which was actually also a pleasure to work on because the composer was awesome dude. Blanking on his name right now, but he was great. And but you know, it's the most reviled show on television, I think. You know, because parents hate it. Have you ever watched it?
No. Never seen a single second of it. Never really heard of it until you've said it before. But.
It's people hate it because it's very...
So that means kids love it.
Kids love it.
Oh, okay.
It's, you can't imagine my disappointment when I put it on for my kids when they were little, and they were transfixed by it. I was like, God damn it.
Oh, no.
But yeah. So I was a music editor. I was a sound editor. I did effects. I did all sorts of things for different shows. Worked for Aardman, which was pretty cool. That's what I did.
There you go. Johnny Test. Now, is Johnny Test a cartoon for kids or is it for adults?
It's for kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. But you think as an adult, you can watch it? Like, all right.
I wouldn't go that far. Oh, but it's somebody who has worked on a lot of animated shows for kids. This one was actually... very well written and jokes that actually made me go, that's pretty good. That's funny. So there you go.
Yeah. If I was seven, I'd laugh at that.
Yeah.
Okay. And Tass, prior careers, we've talked about this before, but why not for anyone new?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not going to go through them all, I was reminded of one of my gigs, which was a main gig before we even started the Basketball Jones. Hell, we're still doing it now, which was archiving sports footage, really. And I was reminded of it Saturday.
Yep.
We had our meetup with our fans and a fellow producer in the industry, Jake LaRue from NBA TV Canada, Canada's version of NBA TV. He's helped out us by digging for some archival footage. He found the 1986 All-Star Game wedgie once upon a time.
That's the guy?
He was there.
Are we allowed to unmask him? I thought it was a secret.
I don't care. it's not a secret. Is it?
Lee was kind of thought it was. I think Lee wanted to keep it under wraps. Yeah, he didn't want to share his source.
No, he just wants it all for himself. I get it. He's done that with previous sources as well. But no, I think Jake showed his face, so he's happy to be out there. But yeah,
he was great. He was awesome.
He's a great guy. There till the 18th. I wanted to give him a hug.
Oh yeah,
I was like, you poor bastard.
Yeah.
And he got there on Wednesday, so
he was the first person in my entire stay at Vegas. Or what's that? The second question you ask someone when you're at Vegas is like, so how long are you here till? How long are you here for? I'm out on Sunday. I'm out on Monday. I'm out. Sometimes you hear like a Tuesday or Wednesday. I think maybe Hollinger was there for like. I was like, whoa, damn, that's a week. That's a long time. But Jake, I'm here to the 18th. So, holy crap, man. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Godspeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a good thing is he's going to be working hard, so he'll be, away from the hectic life. Mm-hmm. You need something to take you away from the craziness of Vegas. So he will be working hard producing a bunch of stuff for NBA TV Canada. And, when you're digging for footage – like I did for years for TSN, and I'm still doing it now. Still looking for wedgies now, but it's a tough gig. Anyways, he's producing for NBA TV.
So I didn't know the wedgie part that he had helped us out there. I obviously knew he had done that archival type stuff, and of course worked in sports up in Canada. But he was talking about the, when you're like doing a baseball game. Maybe we'll talk about it on No Bunts tomorrow. Like as a fan, you're like, I want it to go 18 innings, but then when you work in sports. And it's late already, and you do have to go home at a certain point. Mm-hmm. You're like, you don't want the overtimes. You don't want the extra innings. You don't want that stuff. So that's sort of funny. But on one hand, you do. But on the other, you're like, you're just adding time to you being at work.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of time. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, we've watched plenty of games. Even playoff games.
Yeah.
Like, get this. Get it over with. Yeah. No OT, please. But in baseball, they put that runner on second base in extra innings to get that thing over
with. But not in the postseason.
Not in the postseason.
Yeah, okay.
But they still have that rule, and people hate it because as a traditionalist, you got to put a runner on second base. Seems like a bit of a gimmick.
Yeah.
They changed some rules this year. Last year, they had doubleheaders, 7 innings each game.
Right. I remember that.
Nah, people
hated
that.
Then we had the whole debate about whether didn't some guy have a no-hitter through 7 innings in one of those games? And we're like, is it a no-hitter?
Fair question.
Well, nobody hit off him.
Fair question.
But, man, this baseball podcast is going to be a blast. Yeah.
There was a double overtime game on Saturday at Summer League.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were complaining. The people that in our business working going, everything's pushed back by an hour.
Yeah.
Everything got pushed. And I remember us... when that happened, being in the truck going, oh, my God, this game has gone to double overtime. That's we can push back this other game. And we, Matty O made dinner reservations. We got a party to get to or whatever. And it messed everything up. But what a pop from the crowd, because it's sudden death there. And
well, it was the two threes at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
It was that Magic Kings game.
Yeah.
And the Kings, like, miraculously hit a three. Okay, yeah. They made it a three-point game. The Magic are going to inbound the ball, and they'll get fouled. The game will be over. But they got the steal, like, pandemonium. Reggie Miller, like, 8 points in whatever, 9 seconds. And then, hit another three. That was the...
I've never heard it
that was loud. Maybe the loudest pop I've ever heard at Summer League. Totally. The crowd, like, went nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, and rightfully so. And then, it went into overtime, and then they went to sudden death overtime.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. So for the fans, and that's what Jake's saying, as a fan, you're like, that's what you want. And sometimes when you work in the industry, it's like, it's just making me more work.
That's right.
But it is exciting too. It's a tough one. Thanks again to everybody that came out there to our little meetup in Vegas. Let's call it there. I can't believe we did 90 minutes on a bunch of fun, random questions. We appreciate them. Keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tweet them in @NoDunksInc. We are back here, right here tomorrow, for the first ever episode of No Bunts. Talking about a little baseball. I'm actually excited to sit here with you because I know really nothing about what's going on in the league. So I'm going to have a lot of questions.
Hope I have some answers.
You will. You will. No Bunts tomorrow here on the No Dunks feed. On Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern, we'll be having our episode of No Breaks, breaking down the F1 race with Graydon Gordon. I'll be filling in for TK on that one. And then later in the week, we told you, watch Rise, the Giannis Disney movie. So you can join us later in the week as we break that down.
It's on Disney Plus, yeah?
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah, it's got to be. I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not going to the theater to watch it, so... no, it's on Disney Plus, so check out Rise, and we'll do a film session on that later this week. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nah!
JD?
I got nothing.
Okay, perfect. Thanks to the stream team for joining us live. If you're a podcast listener, leave your boys 5-star rating and review. Until tomorrow, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, well, I've got nothing left, as I just said 10 seconds ago. So that's it.
Brace the day, people.